We have some visitors here this morning. I was just hoping that they could come up and say hello real quick. Rod and Cheryl Barks, do you mind just coming up and just saying hello? I know. Just like, don't preach a sermon, but like, you know.
I won't say.
Okay.
All right. Hi, everybody. We love you guys. What a great church. Hey, doesn't that resound with you? I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago who was talking behind your back. I know. It was interesting to me that it came up because they said they had been here a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And this story starts kind of sad, but it's joyful. Okay? Just so you know. They said they came here a few years ago. They didn't define how many years ago. And they actually came in and were only, that they said, the pastor talked to us, but we didn't feel connected. And when somebody starts a story like that, there's part of me that goes, oh.
Oh, no.
And then they said, but we were here at City Light a few months ago. And they said, it was like we couldn't get past people talking to us. And it was like 100 people talked to us before we ever got to our seat. And when they said that, like, there was part of me that just got really happy.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's not just a greeting team, right? It's the whole church. There's been a shift in the atmosphere at City Light. We just praise God for that, right? Isn't he good?
Yeah.
Amen. Preach on.
Perfect. Thanks.
All right.
That's awesome. I didn't know where you were going to go with that story there for a second. I thought, okay, I'm going to have to bring them back up, but here we are. Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Yeah? Well, that sounded like you're just, meh. Listen, I see some Canuck stuff happening out here. Let's just address the elephant in the room, all right? Let's do that. Let's get that right out of the way so that we can get on with life, all right? I know you're all wondering, Claudio, now that our Canucks, you would say wonderful Canucks, it's not the word that comes to my mind, you would say, Claudio, now that the Canucks have moved on, it's because I didn't put it on the prayer board. We have a white towel. Can we edit that out of the video? Can we just edit that right out? I know you guys are far more than capable of doing that. You know, you're wondering, okay, so who am I going to cheer for now that you guys are going to play the Oilers? What do you think, hey? Is that a coin toss? Listen, my twin brother, his filters work a little different than mine. He shoots from the hip. He's super honest about things. And he said to me, he wrote me, we talk every day, so he wrote me as soon as this all kind of went down. And he said, ugh, throw up emoji, throw up emoji, throw up emoji. Can I just hope that the arena roof caves in? I was like, brother. Thanks for speaking my heart. I'm cheering for the Canucks. No, don't cheer. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That's why I'm drinking water. I can't believe I'm cheering for the Canucks. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, sustainer of all things. Hey, I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm so glad that you guys are all here this morning. We're going to keep going with our series that we've been talking about. First of all, hey, tech team, we just want to thank you guys so much for taking care of this stuff that you guys did. It's far beyond me, and I just super appreciate that you guys took care of that for us. I know that it wasn't because you didn't want us all facing you again this week. I'm sure that's not why you got on it as quickly as you did. And so I just want to recognize the work that you guys put in. I don't know what it takes to do that, but I know that it's far beyond anything that I have. So thank you for that. And so, yeah, so here we are. We're doing our extraordinary series. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're looking at what the Holy Spirit does, how he walks through and in us and through us. And we're looking at some spiritual gifts as well and how those work. And we're going to be looking at a whole bunch of different aspects of what the Holy Spirit does, because what we want to do here at City Light is what we want to see is that our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does becomes one of our pillars at City Light Church. So over the last several months, Tim and I, as we've been teaching and preaching, we've been setting up pillars. And this is about understanding the role that the Holy Spirit plays and where he comes into and where we come into the picture when it comes to the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. And so we want that to be something that's foundational. That's why we're in this stuff. This week as I was preparing, I read this, I think I shared last week, I got a ton of books all the time. People are always handing me books and going, this is the one that you need to read. And I'm like, is it fantasy? Is it science fiction? I don't want to read it then. But then they get handed to me anyways. And then I get some really good nuggets out of there. So here's something that I read last week about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes after us. The Holy Spirit comes after us to save us. And the Holy Spirit comes inside of us to sanctify us. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon us to supercharge us. So when he comes after us, it's to convict us to believe that we need salvation. And when he comes inside of us, it's to clean us. And then when he comes upon us, it's to equip us for the kingdom work. And so that's how the Holy Spirit works. And so we're going to be looking at a few more things here this week. I want to remind you of two of the things that we talked about last week so that we can move into this. So last week when we talked about wisdom and knowledge, the first thing that we talked about was this, is that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, not just so that we can have a bag full of gifts and we can put all these gifts in a bag and carry them around from place to place and then put them up on our trophy shelf and set them up like we've won all these Stanley Cups. Oh, wait a minute, you guys can't relate. Yeah, we have one and you have none. So the Holy Spirit, he's given us all these gifts, but again, it's not so that we can put them up on a shelf and then dust them off once in a while. He gives us gifts with purpose. He gives us gifts for a purpose, and that purpose is to help each other so that we can walk our faith journeys together, because we're not meant to do this on our own, City Light. We're not meant to do this on our own. We always say, and I still want to get the shirts made, we'll get there, hashtag let's go together. Because that's what life's supposed to look like when we're on our faith journey. So he gives us the gifts for a purpose so that we can help each other. Secondly, we don't want to limit what the Holy Spirit can and will do. We don't want to limit what the Holy Spirit can and will do. Why? Because we will almost always miss something that God has for us if we try and limit the Holy Spirit. And so when I say this, people are like, oh, sweet, it's on. Holy Spirit stuff's happening. We're gonna go to this side of the pendulum. And it's, Claudio just said, we're going to do some crazy stuff here now because we're opening the door and Holy Spirit's. But when I talk about not putting limits on the Holy Spirit, it's two sides of the coin to that. We don't want to limit the Holy Spirit so low that we don't think he's capable of doing the miraculous and the remarkable. But at the same time, we don't want to limit the Holy Spirit too high where he can only ever operate in the miraculous and the spectacular and the remarkable. Like we can't put those limits on the Holy Spirit, because one of them, we're just not going to see stuff very often. And the other one, we're not going to recognize that he's working at all, ever. So we don't want to put a limit on what the Holy Spirit can and will do, because if we do, we will almost always miss something that God has for us when we put our own limitations on there. Holy Spirit will show up when he wants to, how he wants to, and then with the gifts that he gives us, he'll decide how those gifts are going to look and work through us at varying degrees. He will decide the degree of the gift and what that looks like when you start walking in it. So let's go to our main scripture, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. Again, I'm reading out of the NLT. I'll read that for you. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So that we can help each other. And this can look different depending on the situation that we're in. It will look different every time depending on where we're at and what that situation looks like. So it can be the miraculous, but it also can be the daily thing. It can look like a small group deciding that that day they're not going to have their regular session and run their regular video series. That maybe this day the small group is going to pick up a bunch of brushes and rollers and they're going to go and they're going to help someone that needs help painting their place. That's, hey, look at this. Look at these guys. Hey, look at these painters. Can I just, can I be just really blunt and transparent with you guys right now? That hurt. We had nine people, I think, show up to help Megan paint her place. And nine people painting, when I did that for a living, was a very big crew to run. And I just wanted to have control of it all. And I was like, this is what painting looks like. This is how it works. This is where we're going to start. This is where we're going to, don't touch those brushes. Those are mine. Please don't. Please don't get any paint on my brush handles because just don't. That's not how painting works. And so, but you know what? They knocked it out of the park. They did an amazing job. You got people showing up and they're sanding and they're spot priming and they're cutting and they're rolling. And I only had to re-roll like 10 walls instead of the entire place. That was amazing. And my wonderful wife, you see a picture of her there? Painting away using one of my brushes. So if you want to pay attention to some detail in that picture, there's a lot of paint on that brush. I don't think that brush has ever had that much paint up the handle. It's like 10 years old. Like, I was like, oh, I guess this is what we're doing today. We're wrecking brushes. Oh, it does. Out, spot. Out, spot. Yeah, it did come off mostly. I have some work to do on it yet. It needs a little bit more tender, loving care to, you know, it experienced some trauma. The Holy Spirit will show up in different ways for different situations. In this situation, the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts and he said, here's where I need you to be. Here's what it's going to look like. It's not miraculous. No one's walking on water. There's no lame man standing up and walking. But this is where I want you to be. And this is what it's going to look like. And so there we are. It was miraculous. Today, as I finish today, it's going to look a little different. Today what we're going to do is we're going to have some prayer time over our prayer board again. There's going to be an invitation to pray so that we can believe for one another and we can believe with one another. And we're going to be praying for the miraculous. Because I know that some of these prayer requests need a miracle. And we're going to step into what the Holy Spirit has for us, whether it looks like rolling walls or whether the Spirit is telling us, hey, now you're going to pray for this. And we're not going to put our limitations on what the Holy Spirit can do, because if we do that, what happens is we will almost always miss something that God has for us when we put our own limits on what the Holy Spirit can do. And so today we're actually going to be looking at verse 9 in our text. Verse 9, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. The same Spirit gives great faith. We're going to be looking at faith. We're going to be looking at believing. And so this isn't about saving grace or saving faith. Saving faith is a different thing than what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about the gift of faith. It's a different thing. Because all Christians, all Jesus followers, all of us, we all have a saving faith. We all believed that Jesus came, that he gave his life, and that he was resurrected so that we could have a relationship with the Father. That is saving faith. We have it. If you don't, come see me afterwards. We'll have an altar call. I'm not scared. Well, totally. We'll help you along with that. We'll walk you along in that. So all of us have some measure or some kind of faith. Romans 12 says this, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we're all carrying it here and there. But I've heard this statement before, and I don't know if you have, but I've heard this statement plenty of times in my life. Yeah, I get what you're saying there, Claudio, but you know, I'm not really a person of faith. Like, have you ever had someone say that to you? I've heard it plenty of times. I get what you're doing, but I'm not really a person of faith. You know what? I think that statement's wrong. I think it's wrong because we've all been given a measure of faith. Like, let me give you a couple of examples because, again, I'm a word picture guy. Think of it this way. Well, here, I'll tell you about what I know and what I don't know. I don't know a thing about an internal combustion engine. Like, I couldn't tell you the first thing about it. I know Jordan probably could. He could probably come up and teach us how to take one apart and put it back together and have it running right up here on the stage. He could, and if, like, sorry if I'm getting you some work that you don't want there. Jordan's like, great. Now everyone's going to say, hey, Jordan's the guy that can fix my car. I have no idea how to do any of that. That's why my motorcycle has been sitting on my driveway for 2 years. Because I don't know where to start. I go by and I look at it, I'm like, oh man, that looks so cool. Anyway, I'm going back inside. That's not what Heidi thinks when she walks by it. She's like, maybe I'm going to talk to Jordan after the service. What I know about my car is this. I know I need to put gas in it. I know this. I know that if I turn the key or push the button, depending on how old your car is, I know my car will start. That's a measure of faith. Like, I have faith that my car will start every time I turn the key. You have to have some faith if you're going to go out and eat in a restaurant. Like, it takes a measure of faith. Someone else is preparing your food behind closed doors, and then you're going to eat it. And you don't know what it looks like back there. Like, again, I was in the painting business for a long time. I painted plenty of restaurants. And there's a few that I never went back to after I painted the kitchen because I was like, I know what's happening back there. Like, I know that guy was scratching his back and then started making food. Like, I know these things. So going to a restaurant is a measure of faith. You're not a person of faith. It takes a little bit of faith to get through every day. Like, nowadays, I get paid and I get my check. Like, I get my check from work. Well, now they've made the switch. It's actually direct. But forever, I got my check. And I can pull my phone out. And I put my check on the table. And click. I take a picture of my check. It's deposited in my bank account. I don't know how the phone works. I don't know how the internet works. I don't know how the bank's doing all of this. I don't know any of that stuff. But I'm trusting. I have faith that when I need my money, it's in there. I have to have faith in the phone company. I have to have faith in the internet provider. I have to have faith in the bank. I know, that's a tough one, right? The banks. But you have to, just in order to get paid. Guess what? That's a measure of faith. So if you're saying, hey, I don't really do the faith thing. I'm not a person of faith. Guess what? You really are, because you're getting through every day. But that's not what we're really going to talk about today. What we're really looking at today is the gift of faith is a special gift for a special situation. The gift of faith is a special gift for a special situation. It's a God-given faith that God is going to do something remarkable. Not just start your car for you that day. And if you grew up in the prairies, you said this prayer probably as many times as I did when it was minus 50. Oh, God, please just let this car start this time. oh, I should have plugged it in. But Lord, like, I can't be late for work again. Not super remarkable, but it could be. The gift of faith is a special gift for a special situation, knowing and believing that God is going to do something remarkable. There's a Greek scholar, one of the Greek scholars, he translates this verse like this. He said, it's wonder-working power. Whoa. Wonder-working power. So I want to give you a working definition this morning. So if you're writing notes, I'll read it for you a couple times because I don't have a slide for it. Paul did a bunch of slides for me, and then I felt bad sending him something else because I was like, oh, I should probably figure out the slides. And so I'll read it for you, and then you can write it down. Here's a working definition. The gift of faith is a spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and to sustain an unwavering confidence that God will do it, regardless of the obstacles. Let me read that for you again. The gift of faith is a spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and to sustain an unwavering confidence that God will do it, regardless of the obstacles. One more? Okay, I'm not afraid. You can call out. This is who we are. Doug did whatever he wanted before we started, so here we go. The gift of faith is a spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and to sustain an unwavering confidence that God will do it regardless of the obstacles. You can come see me afterwards too if you want. So, God gave my mom this gift for a specific time and situation in her life. Surprise, it was me. Me and my brother, and you guys have heard this story plenty of times. Me and my brother decided just to make our way as far away from God as we could. And we got into some ugly places. And we did some ugly things to others and to ourselves. Because we didn't realize that we were loved and we didn't think we earned it and we didn't deserve it. Man, we made some poor choices. Like we should have died over and over again. But the Lord gave my mom this unwavering faith. For 10 years, she showed up to that prayer meeting on Tuesday night at her church. And she prayed. And she asked. And she believed. And what she said was, it's going to happen, and I'm unwavering in it. 10 years of people telling her, yeah, you know your sons are drug addicts, right? Like, you know they're not coming out of that very easily. Like, you know that, right? Like, you should probably just move on because these guys are grown men. Let them live out their faith now. And my mom said, the Lord has given me this unwavering faith, and I'm going to stick with it. Because I have confidence that God is going to do it regardless of all of the obstacles. Here I am today telling you about unwavering faith because my mom stuck with it. It was a special gift for a special time and a special situation. We see some of these examples in the Bible. We see examples of this kind of gift in the Bible. Just look at Peter and John. We know the story of Peter and John in the book of Acts. We know that day they're going up to the temple, they're going to worship, and there's the lame man sitting outside the temple door. It's the guy that's been lame since he was born. 30, 40 years, whatever it is, he's sitting beside this door. Someone's bringing him there, and he's asking for alms and for money and for food. And everyone knows who this guy is. Peter and John, they walk by, and Peter says what? He turns around and goes, hey, like, I don't have any money, but here's what I have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. special faith in that moment for that situation. Peter turns around and goes, here's what I have. Get up and walk. But what he does, it's not just lip service. He has the bold prayer in the moment, and then he reaches down and takes the guy's hand and lifts him up. So it's one thing for you to say, hey, you're healed, and walk away from the situation. It's another type of belief to then reach down and take a person's hand and pick them up and have the faith that that person is going to stand. Everyone marveled at what just happened because they all knew who this guy was. And Peter's response is this: why are you looking at this as if something that we did? It's done in the name of Jesus by the faith that comes through him. So Peter says, hey, it wasn't us. This was an anointing that came down through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, through God. This is where it came down, and this is how it's happening. It was a gift given to Peter in that moment, at that time, for a specific purpose, on time and on purpose. Not just to have, not just to put up on your shelf, not to just let everyone know, well, hey, look at my thing of badges here. Like, look, I'm a Boy Scout, and I got my, like, make a fire badge, and I got my pitching the tent properly badge, and I have, you know, my sewing badge. I don't know if you get a sewing badge in Boy Scouts. I didn't join Boy Scouts. I was watching Cheers, learning how to cheer for the Red Sox, so I didn't do those things. But it's not this. It's not so you can wear it proudly like a sash and go, hey, look at me, look at all. That means I get to sit up at the front, or hey, that means that I get to come up to the front and speak. That's not how it works. Look at Stephen in the book of Acts. Man, he was known as a man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, and he did wonders, and he did signs, and everyone knew that he had this powerful testimony. And then at one point in his life, he stands up, and he gives this testimony, and it costs him his life. Like, it costs Stephen his life. God gave him the gift of faith that would be the catalyst to the spreading of the gospel. It was a historically powerful moment. It changed the church forever. Because of his death, Christians would be spread out through persecution all through Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it was, even though he walked in these gifts of healing and miracles and all that, what happened was, is the gift of faith that he was given to share his testimony is where the work took place. So it happens. The gift of faith is the conviction that God wants to do something remarkable. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can do what? So that we can help each other. Remember, we don't want to limit what the Holy Spirit's going to do, because we will almost always miss out on something that God has for us when we try and limit it. And when I say that God wants to do something remarkable, it's not always going to be the lame man walking. It's not. Not every time. Don't go chasing the miraculous, folks. Let the signs and wonders follow you when you follow God. Right? Because those things will come. Like, I have a lot of space for the miraculous. Don't get me wrong. I got lots of space for that stuff. But don't go chasing miracles. Those things will come when you follow God and you allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that He has for you. Because great faith, it can play out as a loved one coming to know and love Jesus. That's remarkable. It can come in healing, both physical and emotional. That's remarkable. It can come when we share the Jesus story with someone. That's remarkable. You know what it probably isn't? Finding the best spot at the mall when you're looking for a parking spot. Probably not way up there with the remarkable. Like I like finding a good parking spot. But I don't know if that falls in line with what we're talking about. Wonder-working faith. Some of you laugh because you drive around the mall forever looking for that spot. And you're going, how come all the electric cars get the best spots? I say that sometimes. Wonder-working faith is balanced because it comes from God. It's not top-heavy. It's not off-balance. It's perfectly balanced because it comes from God. When Judah was born, Judah's not here. None of my kids are here. Well, he's not going to get up and walk out in the middle of my sermon like he did last time, that Judah. Judah's not here today. He's at a youth retreat out in Kamloops. And so if you think of him, just pray that for safe travels and all that. But when Judah was born, we had a midwife, and she came to the house and all this sort of thing. And we're like, no, we want to go to the hospital. And she's like, well, we could do it here. You're so close. And we're like, we feel way better about going to the hospital. We get to the hospital and birth is starting to happen and baby's coming quickly and all that sort of stuff. And I can't believe I'm watching this happen because I didn't learn my lesson the first time around. And so I'm in the middle of it. And as he's being born, he's got the umbilical cord around his neck. And that midwife starts to try and pull it, and it's a movie in my head, and she's got her finger and she's digging it in between his neck and the cord, and she's trying to pull it over his head, and she's trying, and finally she does, and he's blue and he's not breathing, and she calls her code and everything, and she puts him on this little bed on this little table, and she grabs her apparatus, and it's a bag, and she's bagging him, and she's got this over his mouth, and she's sitting there and she's called, and there's alarms going, and she's squeezing this thing. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit gives me the special gift of faith. And I know that I have to put my hand on my son's chest and I need to start praying for him. And so it's kind of funny now. It wasn't funny we're jostling. So she's pushing me out of the way because she's trying to do this. And I'm pushing her out of the way because I'm trying to pray. And I'm like, this midwife doesn't know what she's doing. And she's probably going, this crazy Christian's what is he doing? And I'm praying for him. And he starts coughing. And he coughs out and he starts breathing. In that moment, in that time, I am anointed with this spiritual gift of faith. And I know that I have to lay my hands on him. So then he's in the hospital for the week, and he's in the NICU, and they've got to check for infections and stuff like that in the lungs because they don't know how much moisture or how much whatever he had breathed in and fluid, I guess. I don't know. I'm not. Cheryl's the nurse. She would know. And so they have to keep him in. And now the practical balance side of the special gift is believing that God has the right doctors and the right nurses in the right spot so that Judah can get better and he can come home. Wonder-working faith is balanced. And in that week, I went from here to here. Because that's how God works, though. So as I come to a close this morning, I want to go back to one of our other series, the big series. It was Big Faith, Big Belief. We talked about big faith. We talked about the faithfulness of God. And I want to go back there because this is going to tie us all together for us. If you remember, and I hope you did because I preached it. If you don't remember it, don't tell me because I preached it. And so we have Abraham. And Abraham goes from a promise from the Father to a covenant with the Father. His promise moves to covenant. And God does the same thing with us. He makes a promise to us, and then he moves that promise over here, and he makes it into a covenant, which is a contract. It's not just a promise. Now it's serious stuff. And he's making a contract with us. And what he does with that contract is that he seals his word by signing both sides of the contract. He says, I'm going to sign my side because I'm God. But also, I know you guys. I'm going to sign your side too. Because I know the hearts of men. But I am so faithful that I'm willing to sign both sides of the contract. The Holy Spirit showing up with spiritual gifts is part of God signing his side of the contract for us. When we look at these gifts, when we look at gifts of faith and healing and all the ones that come up, it is God's signature on our side of the contract. That's what those are. It's the Holy Spirit going, yeah, you can't get this all done without me. So I'm going to give you everything that you need to keep up your end of the deal. The Holy Spirit is empowering us and he's enabling us so that we can play our part in the people loving, people saving kingdom plan. Let's not put limits on what the Holy Spirit can do. Whether that's too high or too low, because we will almost always miss out on something that God has for us if we try and limit the Holy Spirit. Amen? So now, we're going to walk into this, because I feel like today, the Spirit has said we need to pray over our board. And we have a few of our prayer requests that have moved over. But you know what, folks? I'm believing for way more. I'm believing for way more. I believe that God wants to do something remarkable with the prayer cards that we have on this side. And it may not be moving at the speed that we all think it should be, because I know that for myself, I feel like all of those should be over here already. But that's my own limitations of how the Holy Spirit shows up and what he does with it. But today, we're going to walk in this faith because today, I think the Holy Spirit is anointing us with the right gift at the right time. Today, it's a gift of belief and faith for one another and with one another. So Doug, I'm going to invite you, if you could come up and take the board for us. And I'm going to invite all of you. And we've done it before a bunch of times already. I'm not afraid of doing it over and over again because this is unwavering faith. And so I'm going to invite you to come up and join us in prayer, believing that God has something remarkable for all of this. Amen? So don't be shy. Yeah, you can clap too. We're clapping for Jesus. We are clapping for Jesus. Don't be afraid to clap. I'm not afraid. So who's first? What are you waiting for? An invitation? I just gave it. Come on up, folks. Let's do this together. Let's believe together for each other, with each other. Let's do that. And again, I believe that in this moment right now, this is anointing. This is the Holy Spirit saying, I got this. You just got to believe with me. Let me help you believe. This is what's happening. right in this moment. I'll pray. Holy Spirit, here we are. Here we are, Holy Spirit. Trusting you, knowing that you can walk in the miraculous, knowing that you can walk in the everyday, knowing that you empower us, knowing that you help us have the belief that we need, because we are unbelieving sometimes. Thank goodness that we don't have to rely on our believing, but that you give us supernatural, special, anointed believing. And here we are as a body together. Here we are as a family together. Here we are as a tribe together, believing with you, Holy Spirit, believing with each other and for each other and for all of these prayer requests that we have, knowing that you today will start something new, a catalyst, like you did with Stephen, a catalyst that change is coming, that prayers are going to be answered, that the good stories are going to be shared, that there is going to be a flow that takes place from one board to the other. But it's more than that, Holy Spirit. It's not just about pinning something here and here, but it's life-changing. So, Father God, right now we have our hands on these prayers and we lift them up to you. And we say, Father, you know what's written on these cards. We don't even know what's written on the cards, but you do. You know our hopes. You know our dreams. You know our wants. You know our hurts. You know our desires. You know what brings us to our knees in tears. You know what breaks our hearts. You hear us cry out. And we bring this to you, Father. Because we can't do anything with it. But you can. And so we are believing. And we will be unwavering. And if we have to do this every Sunday, that is not beyond us. We will step into it over and over and over again until you get sick and tired of it and say, I will give you what you want. And we thank you that we can come to you with this prayer in boldness. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you embolden us to pray this way. So, Father, we are believing. We are believing with everything that we have. And we thank you. We thank you in advance. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit, of your work for the kingdom and for these people and for our neighbors and our loved ones and everything else that we have on this board. In your mighty name, Father, we pray. Amen and amen.